Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
There's a government secret nobody in the Raleigh power establishment will confirm, and it's this. Our Republican governor, Pat McCrory, would not mind if there were a few more Democrats in the General Assembly after this fall's elections. When you ask people close to the governor about this possibility, they're not going to give you a straightforward yes in response, but their flashing eyes and quick grins tell you that they think the governor would have more strength dealing with the legislature if there were fewer Republicans there. As the Charlotte Observer's Jim Morrill wrote earlier this month, quote, Governor Pat McCrory's first months on the job were trying. Legislators from his own party drove the major policy debates on abortion rights and voter identification in 2013, often leaving the new governor little more than a spectator. Well, recent governors have had a weapon in their dealings with the legislature, one that arguably at least McCrory does not have. It is the power to veto legislation. But of course McCrory does have the veto. Why suggest that he doesn't? Well, the value of his veto power is limited because Republicans, that is the Republican legislative leadership, they've got a veto-proof majority in both houses. North Carolina's Constitution provides that the legislature can override a governor's veto by action of 3/5 of the members of both chambers. So to override a governor's veto in the state Senate, 30 votes are needed, and Republicans control 33 of the 50 seats. In the House, 72 votes are needed. Today, Republicans have 77 of the 120 seats. With their current majorities, the Republican legislative leadership has the votes to override a governor's veto. And with his veto power diminished, the governor has a hard time demanding a seat at the table or insisting on being consulted when major legislation is under consideration. But with a few more Democrats, that is 4 more in the Senate and 6 more in the House, that veto-proof majority would disappear, and the governor would get a seat at the table. Or so the story goes. But prior to 1996, North Carolina governors had no veto power whatsoever. They had to find other ways to lead, using the many, many powers of their office. Some governors, though, like Sanford and Hodges and Holzhauser, Martin and Hunt, did more. They courted legislators, inviting them to regular breakfast meals at the governor's mansion and paying attention to them all the time. Ironically, the line of strong North Carolina governors may have ended about the same time that the governor got the veto power. Well, maybe a few more Democrats in the legislature next year would give our governor a seat at the table, but it will not, by itself, get him into the pantheon of North Carolina's most successful governors. This is D.G. Martin.